Good afternoon and welcome to another Good News Show with your host, Danielle Smith. Well, you know that Good News is a show where we spotlight groups, individuals, and organizations that are making a positive impact. And I usually do let you know that we do talk to people in the city of Pittsburgh, and we also talk to people who are outside of the city of Pittsburgh that is making good news happen. If you would like to be featured on Good News, make sure you send me your bio and your contact information to TVRadioDiva@gmail.com. We'll get you on the air and we'll let everybody know what you're doing good and how you're making change happen in your community and, of course, around the world. On today's Good News Show, I'm speaking with award-winning author Carol Weatherford. We're talking with her today about what she's doing, what she's up to, and wait a minute, we are also going to be discussing her latest book, Unspeakable, The Tulsa Race Massacre. She has written over 60 award-winning books. This year, she won an American Library Association Newbery Honors, and another one of her books on Aretha Franklin got a Coretta Scott King Award. We want you to check out her books on Amazon.com, but she's here today to talk about her latest book, Unspeakable, The Tulsa Race Massacre.
I'm doing great, Danielle. I'm happy to be joining you and talking to listeners in Pittsburgh.
Awesome. It's a pleasure to speak with you. Now, you just said that the weather is nice where you are. Now, where are you at now?
I am in the Raleigh, North Carolina area.
Awesome. Wonderful. We're glad the weather is good there today. So let's talk about Unspeakable, the Tulsa Race Massacre. Tell us about your book and, first of all, how you came up with the idea to even write the book.
Unspeakable, the Tulsa Race Massacre is part of a larger body of work of mine that reveals hidden and little-known history. My mission as an author is to mine the past for family stories, fading traditions, and forgotten struggle. So much of what I write is about African-American resistance, resilience, and remarkability. Tulsa, particularly the Greenwood community of Tulsa, which was the black community and home to Black Wall Street,
yes,
was a symbol of pride, progress, and prosperity in 1921. Of course, history was altered on those very days when a white mob attacked Greenwood, leaving more than 300 dead, and 8,000 black residents homeless. So what I do in Unspeakable, the Tulsa Race Massacre, is recreate the community as it existed at that time. You know, what I talk about the store, you know, the businesses, the institutions that African Americans had created, the fact that there were six privately owned airplanes in that community at the time. And then two-thirds of the way into the story, I show what happened on those fateful 2 days when the white mob attacked the black community. So I write these stories so that our children can know their history, and I also understand that sometimes when adults are sharing the little-known history with children, adults may be learning about these events for the first time themselves.
That is so true. Thank you so much for sharing that information with us. Now, we are actually coming up on the anniversary because it happened May 31st and June the 1st, 1921. So as we come up on that anniversary date, which would be next Monday, Memorial Day, how has things changed in Tulsa? And has there ever been any movement on how to rebuild that Wall Street in Tulsa?
The Greenwood community itself was rebuilt by the black community within a matter of years after the massacre. However, Black Wall Street never reached the level of greatness that it had achieved prior to the massacre. Prior to the massacre, Black Wall Street was the wealthiest black district in all of Black America. And it's estimated that because of the massacre, $200 million in economic losses if it were measured in today's money. So that's a lot of generational wealth that was not able to be passed on. Nevertheless, the community did rebuild, which shows the kind of faith and the kind of perseverance that the community had. But in the 1960s, as happened in many communities, an urban renewal effort came through that black community and tore down some of what the community had rebuilt. So there is a movement afoot in Greenwood to preserve the history of the massacre and to make sure that blacks today are part of the economic development that is going on in that community at present.
Okay, good, good, good. Now, the book is already out. It came out earlier this year. So where can the audience, of course, get a copy of it?
They can get a copy at any local bookstore. If the bookstore does not have the book and have Unspeakable in stock, the book can be ordered. They can get copies at the African American Children's Book Project.org and from any online bookseller.
Okay, good, Carol. So what do you want people to take away from the book? Because I didn't get a copy of it, so I'm going to, of course, have to get a copy myself. But for those who are going to read the book, what do you want us to take away from the book?
Well, all of my books that are about so-called difficult subjects or chapters from America's painful past really are meant to spark discussion between young people and the adults in their lives about why injustices occurred and what we can do to effect change and to make sure that history does not repeat itself. So one of the messages that I hope to impart from Unspeakable and from my 59 other books,
yes,
is that you must have truth before you can have reconciliation. And that children, and that we must trust children, my young authors, not only to read about and learn about these topics, but to know the right questions to ask after they have learned about the topics. A typical question that children ask after learning about something like the Tulsa Race Massacre or another subject of mine, the Greensboro Lunch Counter Sit-Ins or the Birmingham Church Bombing of 1963, is why did it happen? You know, why did white people treat black people unfairly? And those are that is an appropriate question, and we adults, have to search our souls and be prepared to answer those kinds of questions from our children.
Good, good. It certainly benefits us to know our history. So how can we get your book into schools? Because schools nowadays, well, I know when I went to school, they did teach us black history, but the majority of the black history that they taught when I was going through school was about slavery. Now, once I got to high school, we actually had a black history class. But when it comes to black history, we need to start learning black history early, like I'm talking elementary school. So how is it possible? How can we get your book into these schools?
That's a good question. One way you can get the book into schools is by giving a gift to your child's classroom of books like these.
Okay.
So that's one way. Now, how do we get it into curriculum?
Yes.
The bigger hurdle.
Yes.
In large part, it may be at the behest of a teacher who decides to share a book as a supplement to another subject. One thing that we need to make sure we're doing, and there's a professor named LeGarrett King who came up with this concept. I didn't come up with it. Is that we should not only teach black history, but teach through black history. So there are opportunities throughout the curriculum to infuse black history. There might be an opportunity in a math class, for example, to weave in a biography of someone like Katherine Johnson, who was the mathematician, of course, who was profiled in Hidden Figures.
Yes.
So we have to broaden our concept of what it means to teach black history. But we, in order to get books like these in the curriculum, you know what we have to do? We have to vote. We have to vote in legislators who are not going to forbid, teaching of the 1619 Project, who are not going to forbid teaching of critical race theory. And quite frankly, they're not going to forbid the teaching of an inclusive and honest account of our shared American past.
Yes, yes, yes. So, Carol, I have to ask that you could write about anything, because you obviously you're very talented and gifted. All gifts and talents come from God, and He has certainly gifted you to do that. You could write about anything. Why Black history?
Well, because it's my history, first of all. It's the history that I wish I had learned more about when I was in school. It's the history that I want to pass down to my children and grandchildren so that they will have self-knowledge and can be strong in their identity and, you know, not just be limited to the history that is constructed, the narratives that have been constructed by white supremacists about us.
Yes.
We have to write about ourselves. So, you know, I view this this gift of writing as a gift of God,
yes,
a gift from God,
mm-hmm.
and I choose to use it to benefit my community,
good.
All of our children, not just Black children, because white children and children of all colors need to know about each other's histories.
Yes, that is correct.
To know about our own.
Yes, yes. Carol, it is awesome. I'm glad I got the opportunity to talk with you today. And, of course, before I let you go, you mentioned that you, of course, have written 59 other books, and you have. So I'm not going to go over all of your 59 books, but I just want to say that I am excited for you and whatever God has for you in the future. And I just want to say congratulations on your success with all of your books. So then you have to let me know if you have a website or where everybody or the listening audience can go to look at all the other books you have as well.
My website is C as in cat, B as in boy, weatherford.com. And I do have several books on spiritual topics, and I'll run down a couple of those titles real quick. By and By, Charles Albert Tinley, the Father of Gospel Music. How Sweet the Sound, The Story of Amazing Grace, The Beatitudes, From Slavery to Civil Rights, In Your Hands, which is a Black Lives Matter prayer from a Black mother to her son, and Dreams for a Daughter, which is a companion to the previous book that I just talked about, In Your Hands.
Awesome, Carol. I am so excited I got the opportunity to talk with you. You have all these great books. I have the document that Vanessa had sent over to me with the different book names, Freedom and Congo Square, The Voice of Freedom, Fannie Lou Hamer. I've got to ask you, when did you know that you had the gift to write, and when did you start writing?
I composed my first poem when I was in first grade. I told my mom that I had made up a poem, and at the time she was driving me home from school. I recited the poem aloud. She was in a state of shock, parked the car, asked me if I would say it again, and when I said it the second time, she wrote it down.
Yes.
And that was such a blessing. That's the only reason I remember the poem. So my mother had the foresight not only to write the poem down, but God gave me a father who was a high school printing teacher, meaning mm-hmm. he had printing presses in his classroom. And he printed some early poems, or he had his students print some of my early poems on those letter presses in his classroom, which gave me a chance to see my work in print at a very early age, before there was any such thing as a laptop or a PC or a laser printer. So, you know, my parents played just, you know, a vital role in nurturing my gift and giving me enough faith in my own ability that I would persevere with writing, even in the face of rejections, you know, early on in my career.
Yes, good. Now, I got to ask you, and I always ask all my people that I talk to, words of encouragement, or I'll put it like this, words of advice. What advice, Carol, can you give to other people who may be listening to this interview who want to be an author? Since you're an author, you're an award-winning author. So what advice can you give to someone who wants to be an author?
Well, there are several points. Practice your craft as often as you can. Whatever it is you like to read, try writing that. So don't just write what you know, write what you like to read. Read as much as you can, and be willing to revise over and over and over again.
Awesome, Carol. Anything you want to add before I let you go?
Well, just this is advice not only for writers, but for anybody who's listening. And it is always be free to dream.
Well, you really made my day today, Carol. I'm glad again that I had the opportunity to speak with you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You have a blessed and awesome day.
You too.
Okay, take care.
You too.
Bye. Well, that was my special guest on today's Good News Show, Carol Weatherford. She's an award-winning author who has written over 60 award-winning books, and she was talking about her latest book, Unspeakable, The Tulsa Race Massacre. Now, to get a copy of her books, make sure you visit her website, cbweatherford.com. Thank you again for tuning in to another Good News Show with your host, Danielle Smith. Now, again, if you want to be featured on the show, make sure you send me your contact information and your bio to tvradiodiva@gmail.com. Have a blessed and wonderful Friday. Lord willing, I'll talk with you next week. Bye.